الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم وقال تعالى لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا وقال تعالى فاصدع بما تؤمر وأعرض عن المشركين إنا كفيناك المستهزئين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Firstly, we must be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from any potential calamity of occurring on this day. We know that there was some movement to get a national protest going on this day. And the reason for that national protest is not objectionable. That there is a valid reason to protest against the increasing amount of inflation and tax that we are facing. That is valid. But what we have often seen is that when these protests take place, then they are overtaken by criminal elements. And when that happens, then it becomes the excuse for looting, plundering, and the destruction. And the strange and amazing thing is that what is looted and destroyed is from the private sector, not the public sector. Private individuals, the complaint is against the government, but who suffers the brunt of it are private individuals. So that is the first thing we must be grateful for. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ That if it is not for Allah keeping some people in check by means of others, whether that is Muslim or non-Muslim, but Allah uses His ibad, some of them, to keep others in check, if Allah did not do this, لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ This earth would have been corrupt. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ But Allah is ever gracious to all the worlds. His favor is on all the worlds. So that is number one. When we look at humanity at large, we find that every human is born with an inner compass. That compass is called the fitrah. It is the natural temperament with which Allah has bestowed and instilled in every child that is born. And this fitrah, the effect of it is that if a person or if a child grows up and is not influenced by outside influences and forces, that child by its own will recognize that there is a creator. And that fitrah will lead a person from all the religions to choose the religion of Islam. That is number one. At the same time, Allah has created within every individual فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا Allah says you have created the instinct فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا The instinct of evil and the instinct of taqwa, of goodness in every single person. So every one of us has these dual instincts that continuously war within ourselves. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا Indeed successful is the one who chooses to purify his soul. And unsuccessful is the one who chooses to corrupt his soul. So we have the fitrah. And then we have these two instincts that war within a person. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا And then Allah also has given each one of us the ability of choice. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ Allah says, whoever chooses to believe, whoever chooses, then he will choose the path of Iman. And whoever chooses disbelief, that is by his own choice. So Allah has given us this ability to choose. Now the problem that humanity faces is that by and large humanity chooses the wrong choice. And Allah speaks about this repeatedly in the Quran in so many different verses. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ The majority of people, of humanity, they are ungrateful to Allah. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ Most of them are ignorant. Most of them choose the path of wrong. Most of them, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ We have not found most of mankind to be true to their word, but we have found most of them to be sinners and transgressors. So Allah speaks about this continuous wrong choice that people make. And why do they make this choice? They make this choice because of the simple reason that to choose the right path, it is a struggle, it is a sacrifice. It demands restraint and self-control. But to choose the wrong path, it is like when you put your car on neutral and you're going down the hill. You don't need to do anything. It just goes. Because it's just rolling downhill. This is the example of choosing the path of evil. It is the easy path because a person wants to fulfill the evil within them, illa ma sha Allah, except those whom Allah has protected. So this is a broad overview of how humanity is. If we then take this humanity, which Allah speaks of, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ That when we have created insan and humanity, we have created him in the noblest of forms. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ And then we have dropped him to the lowest of the low. Lower than anything. Animals, swine, lower. أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ The lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Except for those who have iman and do righteous deeds. They have come out of this law of law and have fulfilled their purpose as humans and as insan. But when we take this mix of humanity who has chosen the path of evil and the path of wickedness, and then from a national side, we take a minority group of people, and we demonize these people. And we spread mistruths and we spread false information about these people. Then we start making this minority a target of hatred. And then when we incite from a national side, or where it is unchecked, when we start inciting violence, and we start inciting publicly hatred against this minority community, then we start bringing about sectarian violence. And when we remove from a national point of view, when from a national and government point of view, the threat of persecution and the protection of the law is removed from this minority, then we have sowed the seeds of a genocide. And we see this repeated in history again and again. And we don't have to look far. If we look at what happened in Bosnia, Serbia, we see the same thing. If we see what happened in Rohingya, and in Rohingya we are speaking about a Buddhist nation, that we all the time have been misled to believe that the Buddhist nation... We have been misled to believe that the Buddhist nation is the most pacifist nation, peace-loving nation in the world. And see what happened to the Rohingya Muslims there in Myanmar. See what happened there. And now when we take a look at what is happening in India at the moment. What is happening in India? The systematic persecution of Muslims. It is not by chance. It is orchestrated. And not from now, from a long time. This evil has been brewing and brewing. And Muslims have been suffering and suffering. The extent of the ideological war on Muslims. In 1993, there was an interview with one of the extremist leaders of one of the political groups in India. A political group that has millions of followers. So there's an interview with Time magazine for this political leader. And he started speaking about his views about Muslims. And he said, if you take Hitler's Mein Kampf, Hitler's book about Nazi ideology and about wiping out the Jews, he said, if you remove the word Jew from there and you put Muslim there, if you take the word Jew out from his book and you put the word Muslim in there, that is our ideology. This is the level of evil and hatred that has been created towards the Muslim community. And you see a whole rewrite of history taking place. Changing and altering historical facts to create a narrative of hatred, ill feeling. This is the reality of what is going on. And in the backdrop of this reality, we find what is happening right now, where the Arab world and the Muslim world has finally chosen to take a stance. And they took a stance, why? Because the point had been reached where publicly again and again the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had become besmirched. Where public utterances by national spokesperson of the government insulting our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most horrible terms. It is unfortunate that it had to take so long. And we had to witness while Muslims were being persecuted in India. We would find that at the same time a leader from the Muslim world is opening temples in a Muslim country, officially opening it from the government side and welcoming the Indian president in the country in the midst of persecution of Muslims. So this is the situation that we find ourselves in. So the Muslim world, many countries, because of the insult to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they rose up and they condemned this. And the reaction which startled many political commentators, because India is not known as a country to backtrack. It is not known as a country to apologize. But they issued certain statements. The BJP government, whose ideology, official ideology, is of Hindutva. And what that means is that we believe that Hindus are the supreme race. It is like an apartheid ideology, a fascist ideology. And that Hinduism must be the state religion of India, and India must become a Hindu state. That is their official ideology. So they released a slogan, an apology. Not even an apology, but rather they released a clarification. And in that clarification, they said that we strongly denounce insults of any religious personalities of any religion, and that we are against any ideology which insults or demeans any sect or religion. And they said that they do not promote such people or philosophy. So this is what they said, and they said this only to appease the Arab and the Muslim world, for no other reason. Otherwise, this is an empty statement, an empty slogan. We are speaking about a nation. And here in this, we are not condemning people any people, we are not condemning people and we are not condemning Hindus as a religion. But we are condemning this government that has taken Hinduism and exploited it and has taken out the worst elements from there to exploit and to use it to attack and marginalize a community. This is what we are speaking about. So this Hindu ideology, they have, number one, we know there is a caste system that has a religious background in India or in Hinduism. And this caste system has labeled Hindus into different levels, different tiers. One is the priestly class, and one is the warrior class, and one is the merchant class, and one is the laborer class. And the laborer class is meant to serve the elite class, even if they are not paid anything. So these are four levels. And then there is another level that does not even feature this. This level is called the Dalits, the untouchables. They are considered to be so vile that we must not have anything to do with them at all. And these are people within the same religion. Within the same religion. Now, not all Hindus follow this, but this is something that is there, no doubt. And there are 160 million of these untouchables living in India. And the news again and again, what we hear speaks about how they are persecuted. Why? Because they walked in the wrong area. They were publicly beaten because they walked in the wrong area. That a woman from this is raped by many people and made to walk naked in the street. So when this happens to their very own people, then how easy it is to turn that hatred and animosity to other communities. So it is not only the Muslims that are suffering in India, it is the Sikhs as well, and it is the Christians as well. There is a suffering from all these people in these communities. So it is a small glimmer of hope. It is a small glimmer of hope that the Muslim countries have rose up to challenge this. And we must support this as much as we can. Not because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs our support. No. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and His angels send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the need of the Nabi of Allah for our support when Allah is the support of him? When the Malaika is the support of him? But Allah has joined us in the salawat of His Nabi and said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That, O those of Iman, you also send salawat and salam upon my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran here, and He addresses His Nabi. When the Nabi of Allah was enduring insults, hurtful and painful insults and mockery from the kuffar of Makkah, Allah told His Nabi, فَاسْتَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. O my Nabi, carry on what you are doing. I have sent you with a task, carry on with that task. And do not be bothered about the mushrikeen, about those who ascribe partners with Allah, about your enemies. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. Allah said, I will suffice you for all those who mock against you. I will be there for you and I will take care of these people. And there were five prominent people amongst the Quraysh who were the foremost in mockery. And one by one, each one suffered a most horrible death. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. But even though Allah has taken the personal responsibility to suffice for His Nabi, we as Muslims, our love for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot allow us to tolerate such things. No. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim. Allah says the Nabi is closer to the believers than their own selves. We will take abuse on our own selves. We may stomach it even for our children and our parents, but for the Nabi of Allah, never. We will never stomach insults against him. Never, never. That is why Shabir Akhtar, when he wrote his book condemning Salman Rushdie and the satanic verses, then he opened his book with these words, and he quoted an old slogan from the West, a slogan of caution. And that slogan was that say what you want regarding God, but be careful about Muhammad. Say what you want about God, because God as a sublime and supreme entity, everyone has their own opinions about who God is in the different religions, and they have their own way of considering what God is and worshipping God, and Islam tolerated and continues to tolerate the different faiths and however they choose to worship God. But Islam has never tolerated the abuse of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ever. But be careful about Muhammad, because they know that if there is one thing that will incite the Muslim community and there is one thing that will not be tolerated, it is the abuse of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Khubay bin Adi radiallahu anhu, when he was captured and his execution was to be a public execution in front of everybody, and it was for the non-Muslims, it became like a festival of merriment and joy, that the drums were being beaten and the children were there and the women were singing and everyone is here in this festival atmosphere, a festival atmosphere of crucifixion. The first to be crucified in Islam was Khubay bin Adi, radiallahu anhu, the first to be crucified. So this, and he is brought here. He is brought to the destination. And all the hurls of insults and injury are being thrown against him. And the hitting and the beating while he is being brought to this place of his execution. And here when he is about to meet his execution, Abu Sufyan, the leader that time, later on he became radiallahu anhu. But he asked, tell me now, when he is staring death with his very eyes, when that cross of crucifixion is there in front of him, he says, tell me, would you rather have Muhammad substituted in your place and you be at peace with your family? He said, I will give my life. My life can go, but my life is not even worth one thorn pricking the foot of the Nabi of Allah. My life will go for one thorn prick. I will not endure that. That the Nabi of Allah, one thorn be pricked on his foot. My life is not worth that harm that may cause to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bless us with the true love of his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us the tawfiq to emulate his sunnah in every aspect of his life. And Allah make us the true defenders of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honor and dignity. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.